Good morning. It's really good to be with you again on this bright, sunny Sunday here from the Cathedral of Light in Kenton. And it's a joy to be with you on this Sunday and share with you. I was just thinking about it all the 20s today. Today is the 20th of September 2020, and this is the 20th message on this subject. I want to thank you again for your giving. You're continuing to bless so many people in different parts of the world and help alleviate their trial as God provides for them and blesses them through your faith-filled giving. Still, so many people are encouraged and actually surviving because they have food to eat or some other distress is alleviated. And so thank you for giving. I know that you will reap a reward in this life, but also in the one to come. I'd like for us to begin in prayer today as we look into God's Word. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be a vessel in your service, and we pray that the voice of the Holy Spirit will come significantly, powerfully, wonderfully, personally, to every person who hears this word. May they hear your voice and may their heart respond, Lord, even as they hear your voice. May it respond in faith, because we know that when we believe you, that is the payment that releases the reward of the miraculous into our lives. Thank you for this capacity, for this ability. Touch us all now, Lord. I speak healing to those that are even now sitting, listening to this message. Christ has healed you because he did it 2,000 years ago. And this morning, as you hear the word of God, you will experience healing flowing into your body by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series, as I said, from faith to faith in the last days, the harvest of miracles. You'll only have a harvest of miracles if you plant seeds. That's true of natural law, spiritual law. So we allow God to plant the seeds of faith in us by hearing his word. We go after that word, and in so doing, we cooperate with this planting process, and in so doing, miracles take place in our life. When you heard the word that brought about your salvation, it had to be because you responded in faith to that word. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, life is, or the body of Christ is kind of like an orchestra. And God is the orchestra leader. And, you know, many years ago, I took up a musical instrument, and when I was a boy, and all across the city, there were other young people who were taking up instruments. And then finally, to culminate the year's achievement, they met in the Colosseum for a grand orchestral arrangement to present to all the families that wanted to attend. And so it was a big event. And one of the things that was quite interesting was that we're all seated there with our instruments, and we all had the music that we had been given by the conductor. And they had this device that was a huge boxing glove on the end of a motorized arm, and it was quite, it extended quite far. And if you were playing along with the music and you went off course or decided to do your own thing, that giant boxing arm would come out automatically and whack you inside of the head and knock you out of your seat. And that was kind of a message that, you know, you needed to stay with the music. In fact, that happened to some young people so often they had to wear a helmet to the practices. Not really. I was in the orchestra, but the other bit was a joke. I think I need to say that for some of you. Some of you are probably saying, wow, I'm glad I wasn't trained that way. But life is often like that, is that we have somebody who has given us the script, and If we walk by faith and stay with the script, either the written and or spoken script from God's word, then we create something beautiful in concert with others that produces a sound that will be heard throughout the earth. And when we decide to go our own way and go by our own logic or the world's ideas or the devil's suggestions, then we make a mess. And so just see your life as contributing to the whole faith effort of the body of Christ. I pray that there would be no one during this COVID season that would be lost in their relationship with Christ, that would walk away from him or walk away from the body of Christ. But if you walk away from the body of Christ, you're walking away from Christ. You can't walk away from my head and not walk away from my body, and vice versa. And so I want to encourage you, no matter how difficult or how trying your circumstances are, don't walk away from Christ. He's there for you. He's there to freshly speak to you and cause your faith to rise again, to connect with him in a powerful, miracle-producing way. Well, I'd like to read a couple of verses, passages of Scripture from Romans, as we want to kind of look into our subject today, not so much as I have been through kind of various Scriptures and the principles, but I want to look at a particular Bible story and draw from that some very important lessons for us all. But Romans chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law," that would be the Jews, "but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." Now, he's the spiritual father of us all. Going on to verse 17. "As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations." That's what God said to Abraham at the outset. "I have made you a father of many nations." Was God lying? No, I don't think so. God doesn't lie. It's impossible from the lie, Hebrews says. So, but he said, "I have made you." I'm not I'm making you, I'm going to make you. He says, "I have made you a father of many nations." And let's go on from there. It says, "He is our father." So if he said that sort of thing to Abraham, your dad, he would say exactly the same thing to you. There's certain things he has made you. He has made you. And that if you, like Abraham, walk the walk of faith, you will see that manifestation just as Abraham did. "He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were." And we see that right there in that verse. He made him. He calls those things that are not as though they were. Verse 18. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Now, let me just park here for a moment, and I'll come back to it later. It says, "against all hope." In life, there are lots of things and people and circumstances and pressures and spiritual entities that are against you. Some of you are experiencing things that are against you right now. And one of the first signs that you have lost your faith operationally is the joy has disappeared from your countenance and from your spirit. But here the Bible says that our spiritual father, Abraham, he persevered in faith against all hope. You know, oftentimes people listen to a description of a set of circumstances and say, "Oh, that's hopeless. That's hopeless." Well, that's what anybody would have said about Abraham. His circumstances were hopeless. But there is something inside of you that is stronger than what is against you. Let me say that again. There's something inside of you that is stronger, that's greater, that's more powerful than everything that is against you. Against you. And so I love the inspiration of this verse, against all hope, because all of us experience these seasons and circumstances of things that are against us. And yet, if we take the encouragement of God's word, we realize that I got something that's greater than what's against me. And so if you're going to write it all down, then burn it up and say, I've got something that's greater than what is against me. Identify that right now in your circumstances, in your heart, in your mind. What's against me? Is it in my workplace, in my family situation, with my children, with the schooling, with finances, with healing, whatever it is that is against your health, your success, your promotion, your development, your ministry, your influence to others, whatever is against you that you know is not of God, you have something greater. And that is released by your faith. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became. You will become what you believe. If you believe the worst, that's what will happen for you. That's what you'll become. Verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Now, this sort of scripture doesn't make any sense to anybody in this world, because it doesn't fit science, logic, reason, or anything else. But it's here in the Bible, the eternal Word of God, upon which we base our lives. It says, he didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He recognized the facts. I'm not saying that you shouldn't recognize the facts. It's what you do with them that makes the difference. You'll always have some presentation of facts, or not, and you'll have to do something with that. And Abraham did something about the facts. He put them in the drawer and said, I'm going with something greater than the facts. All right. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, probably his face too, and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So God promises something, and he's got the power to do it. Do you believe God has the power to do it? Well, most people, when you ask that question, well, of course I believe that. God can do anything. He created the heavens and the earth. Well, would he create something? Would he make something for you? Especially that he promised that he would. He would, and he does, and he has. Verse 22. Says that is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Our righteousness is essentially a faith righteousness. 23, the words it was credited, 24 rather, was credited to him were written not for him alone, but in verse 24 it says, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. All right, I'd like to kind of move over, if you're looking at the notes, to page 10 and just kind of drill down a little bit on the story of Abraham. And I'm just so thankful that we continue to hear the testimonies that are coming in from various parts of the world and from the church family here in London, of those who are hearing the word, believing the word, applying it to their own set of circumstances, and they're getting the grades, they're getting into the university, they're getting the promotion of the job or the increase financially. All kinds of wonderful testimonies are taking place because people are simply hearing God's word and believing it. And in so doing, they're beginning to see this increase of the miraculous come in their lives. And I want to encourage you that God has not left you out You do not have a defective heart. You have a heart that is capable, that has been a God-given capacity to believe God and to see miracles take place in your life. So I want us to go back to the story of Abraham and kind of drill down a little bit on this, because the Bible tells us in the passage that we just read that our relationship to God is a faith-based relationship, not a works-based relationship. You couldn't become acceptable to God by anything you did, and so that's why all the Jews of the Old Testament had to come to faith in Christ under Jesus' ministry, because all of the good works that they did were not sufficient. They weren't sufficient. And so it is true today. The only thing that could make you acceptable in the sight of God, as well as provide a relationship of ongoing living with this miracle-working God, is faith. And, you know, you say, but Pastor, this is such simple teaching. Yes, it is. It is simple teaching. But I want to say to you that it is such critical, important, basic, fundamental teaching that is so important for the days and the years that lie in front of us. It is the dissolution of any society or nation on earth when it moves away from basic fundamentals. And you can see that in our world. The moral values of our world have been progressively eroded. And so we live by a whole different set of notions. I don't even call them values. But so Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." God's unmerited favor through faith. Through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. And that gift came to you in the same package as God's voice. When you heard God's voice, the gift of faith, or the ability to believe God and to receive that message, came at the same time. And that's the basis of your salvation and my salvation. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I was a good guy. I did this. I helped my neighbors. You know, I went to church. All kinds of things that people think are the good things are going to save them. And most religions have a hierarchy of good things that you can do, and that will assure your afterlife. That's not true for Christianity. The only thing that assures your eternal life with God in heaven forever is your faith in Christ. And that came to you from Him. You didn't have it in yourself until it came to you by hearing and believing the word of the Lord. So we understand from the scripture that it's faith that sustains our journey. Not only that enables our journey initially, but it's faith that sustains our journey. And, you know, you can see that Israel stumbled every time they got into complaining, criticizing, blaming, etc. And, you know, if you allow yourself to murmur or complain or blame or doubt, you're immediately beginning to stumble in the journey of life. Well, what did Abraham do? Well, I want us to read Romans 4, 20 and 21 from the King James, or the Authorized Version, if we could, because I want to pick up on a particular phraseology in this particular translation. Romans 4:20 says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief." He staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, the word stagger means a way of walking or moving in which you almost fall. It's unsteady movement while walking or standing. And this verse tells us that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. You know, what causes a person to stagger, waver, or doubt, or let go of faith? Because, you know, sometimes we can do this. I'm sure I have, and you have, and others you know have heard something and then begun to stagger. They begin to step off the path of faith and step into the ditch of doubt and unbelief. And that's not who our Father taught us to be. Israel did. As you know, they started out in faith. They finally captured the voice of Moses and said, okay, he's going to lead us to the promised land. We live 430 years here in this particular location. And some guy came and actually persuaded us. Well, he actually had a little supernatural help because we didn't really believe him to begin with. But after 10 great miracles, we said, yeah, okay, it's going to happen. And so they get out and they're walking by faith. They have a great leaving celebration. And they only get out down the road a little bit, and then they stumble. They stumble. And thank God, God helps us when we stumble. And they responded to Moses, and they went across the Red Sea and had an awesome celebration as a result of that great miracle. And then it wasn't too long later, they stumbled again when they ran out of water or they ran out of bread or whatever it was they faced. They stumbled. And ultimately, after so many tests, God said to that generation, okay, you forfeited the promised land. You'll just stay out here in the day. You'll still be believers. Still my covenant kids, but you're going to live less than what you could have if you had stopped stumbling and kept on walking the walk of faith. And so I want to kind of dig into this a little bit and kind of identify some of the ditches that would cause us to lose out on what God has for us. You know, God said, I have made you a father of many nations. That was the promise. And then Romans tells us retrospectively that Abraham did not stagger or stumble with that word. And so I want to kind of look into that a little bit because I think there's a lot more to it than perhaps you might initially observe. What are some things that cause believers to stumble or stagger? Some of the ditches? Well, sometimes it's circumstances that seem contrary to the word you have received. And that was certainly true for Abraham. He received a word, he was going to be the father of many nations, but he wasn't having any children with Sarah. And let me remind you that God's word of promise is always in sharp contrast to earthly conditions. It's always in sharp contrast to earthly conditions. I mean, that's the way it works, is it? You generally apply yourself to hear from God and to hear his voice when you're in some sort of trouble. And so you want to hear a voice in your trouble that's different than the voice of the trouble. And so it's kind of a crazy notion that because things aren't going well, maybe I've missed it or there isn't any hope. When actually it's God's voice that comes that is the opposite. And so it's important to recognize this. When you hear something from the Lord, you know, we have a phrase we use sometimes in this world, something's too good to be true. Well, that's a lie. It's God's word that is true. And if you believe it, then that is what moves everything out of the way so you can possess your possessions. And so circumstances that may seem contrary to the word you received, that's normal. And really, that's what you want. You want something that is contrary to the circumstances of your time. Sometimes another ditch is criticism from other people who did not hear what you heard. You know, when God called us to come to this country, there were a whole number of things that happened to confirm to us that this major move was of the Lord. And so all those blocks fell into place. And we didn't even get out of North America into the UK before we had some discouraging messages about what we were considering. We landed in Vancouver on an initial stop in our flight, and we were sitting in the departure lounge waiting to go and with everybody else. And so we got into a conversation with an older couple. And so she thought, because she heard our accent, that we must be going to England on holiday. So she asked, were we going to England on holiday? And I said no, and that we were going there to start a church. And her eyes got really wide, and she looked at me with shock, and she said, you're going to start a church in the UK? I said, yes, in London. Oh, she said, my husband and I, listen to this now, my husband and I are pastors, and we are immigrating from the UK to the US because England is so dark and there's just no hope. Do you really know what you're doing? And I said, well, no, I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know somebody who does. And I thought, you know, what are the chances of my meeting a pastor who was immigrating to America when I'm trying to immigrate to the UK and they're trying to discourage me from, you know, these kinds of opportunities occur. They didn't hear what I heard. They didn't have that arrangement of things that prompted faith and confidence that we were doing something that we didn't have all the questions answered for. And so when God gives you a word, don't expect that everybody's going to applaud. Some people will say, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. Because they didn't hear it. When they hear their word, they'll follow that path. And you may not think that it's really God. But that's okay. It is something profoundly personal. And I'm not ruling out the necessity of confirmation, etc. But don't think that everybody who is against what you're doing is the voice of God telling you something else. Offenses can also be a place in which a person stumbles in their faith. You see, offenses will disable the heart of faith because unforgiveness is the arrow that causes spiritual cardiac arrest. So many people I've known over the years who started well, who were lovely people. We loved them. They loved us. We spent wonderful hours in fellowship and doing things together in God's kingdom. And they changed and expanded and grew. And we all did together. And it was glorious days. But in the course of their life journey, from some source or another, they took an arrow of offense. And they had spiritual cardiac arrest. And as a result, they stumbled in their journey. Some of them gave up entirely pursuing the Lord or His plan and vision for their life. So be wise. Forgiveness has its own issues and it needs to be dealt with. But one thing for certain, if you don't forgive, you are going to very seriously struggle to make any progress. As the Bible says, if you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you, and then you and heaven are disconnected, and there's no inflow of life that's going to enable you to be a person of faith and see those miracles that are so necessary for you to progress to the next level. That's the nature of life's journey. It isn't just breathing and thinking and hoping and wanting and reading the Bible. It is the miraculous released by faith that progresses you to the next level. And some of you, as you listen today, you realize you've kind of been at this level for, and so God wants to come to you with a fresh word that's going to catapult you to the next level. And perhaps it's simply to remind you the word He's already given you. Sometimes another ditch that you can stumble with that Abram didn't, obviously because he was 100 years old when God says, oh, by the way, I told you back there that you were going to be the father of many nations. At 100, he still was believing. So sometimes there's a time delay in the manifestation of God's promises. God often comes at the last minute, even in the most significant times. In Genesis chapter 12, we have the scripture that God gave to us when we were looking to obey the word of the Lord and in the particular season of our life, and God gave us this word from Genesis 12, of Genesis 4, Genesis 12. It says, the Lord said to Abram, and you put my name in there and Marilee's name, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Go to the land I will show you. And, you know, even when we received this word, we really didn't know which land. We were offered lots of lands and churches and locations around the globe, because the church we were part of had so many doors of opportunity. But God was yet to reveal even the specific land, let alone aspects of the journey. Verse 2 says, I will make into you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, and we left. We left, as the Lord had told him. He simply obeyed. He didn't know a whole lot of stuff. He simply obeyed, and it says, the Bible says, and Lot went with him, and he was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. So he had this word. We received this word. It was personalized to us that God was going to take us to a country out of our father's house, our spiritual father's house. We'd kind of grown up in a church there, and it was a wonderful place to be. So many good things that were going on. We were married, and we had three amazing children. They were in a Christian school. I was in a large, growing church, and a wonderful team of young men and women that worked together in such unity and vitality and fruitfulness. And it was just a blessed situation, not one you would ever vote to leave. But as I said, remember, the script is given by the conductor. You don't write your own. It's given by the conductor. Only then can you exercise faith that's going to release the miraculous. Anyway, we come to the UK, and we have an amazing time in our first year up north in the town of Bury in Lancashire, just outside of Manchester. And we were with a most precious, wonderful group of saints there that so blessed us and added to us and put up with us. It was a joy to be there. And they helped us begin to learn the language and the different spelling and all the things to say and not say. And they just so encouraged us and blessed us. But we knew that ultimately God had called us to London to start a church. And so during that year that we were there, and we had such a wonderful time, we made five trips initially to London to find out where in this city God wanted us to be. And earlier this week I was in having a cup of coffee with someone, and we were talking, and this man said, so how did you get to the UK? Well, we were in a cafe, and somebody a few tables over heard him ask that question, and they said in a loud voice, oh, by airplane. And we all had a good laugh, because they were actually participating in our conversation when they weren't really a part of it. But anyway, so I was sharing with him this story that we had come, we'd taken five trips. He said, well, how did you actually get to the place in London where you are? And I said, well, I had come in five trips of anywhere between 2 and 4 days or 5 days, and I would travel across the city with either a pastor friend of mine or a cab driver friend of mine, and we would go through the whole of the city, and I would get out and I would take some notes and I would pray and I would kind of observe what that area was like, trying to get some sense of where God wanted us to be in this great city. And I'd had so much differing advice from people as to where to go and so on, but I was trying to get a sense first of all in myself of where God wanted us to be, and I was kind of hoping that I would just wake up someday and it would be written kind of in big letters in the sky, you know, you're going to be in Tooting or you're going to be in whatever. That didn't happen. So after five times, the year's coming to an end, and we've got one more opportunity to come. Well, this time I brought my wife, and we had actually given notice on our house in Barrie that we were leaving there. We were packing up. And so we came for this last trip to actually find a place to live. And I had, in my previous five times, had a sense of a certain area of London. And I had taken the map of London and had drawn a circle in that area. And so as we came to stay in London for a few days and to look through that area, see if we could find a house, we contacted every estate agent we could find. And we told them what our requirements were and what we were looking for. And so, they all said, no, they didn't have anything that would fit our circumstances. And so we knew we were going to have to turn the car back towards home. And it's 4 o'clock on a Friday. We have to leave that evening. And we've not found any place. We've already said goodbye to our house in Barrie, and we now have to head home shortly, and it's 4 o'clock. Well, we'd exhausted everything that we knew in terms of estate agents in that area, and so we stopped, and it was a warm day, and so we stopped, and I went into some little corner shop and picked up a couple of tins of soda pop for us to drink, and I happened to see a free paper. I picked up one of those, walked out, sat down in the car, and we're sipping our sodas, and I'm reading this free paper, and I saw an ad for an estate agent that was in the area, in this big circle area, and it wasn't one that I had run across. And so I immediately, as the story goes, and this tells you how long ago it was, all I had was 10p. And that was before everybody carried a mobile phone. And so I went to the red box phone, and I took my last 10p, and I stuck it in the phone. And I called the number that was in the paper, and I told the woman what I was after. And she said, well, we don't have any houses like that, but she said my colleague from another branch may have a house for you. Her number is. I said, well, excuse me. I said, I'm in a situation. Perhaps you could call her at the other branch and then have her call me at this number. And I gave the number of the phone booth. Didn't tell her I only had 10p. I was going to rent a house, but I only had 10p. So she calls. She said yes, so she calls the other branch, and the other branch called the phone. I stayed in the phone. I wasn't going to let anybody else in there if they did, until I got my phone call. It wasn't very long, but it seemed like a month. Anyway, she rang, and I explained to her who I was and that we were looking to rent a house in this particular area. And she said, well, she said, in the area that you're considering, I only have one house. And she says, it is actually more money than you say you can afford. I said, well, could we look at it? She said, yes. She said, when would you like to look at it? I said, now. She said, now? I said, yes. She said, well, I'll have to call the owner and see if they would be available so you could see the house. I said, well, if you would do that, would you also ring me back on this number? She said, yes. So I got to stay in the phone booth again and wait for the second call. Shortly thereafter, she rings back. She said, yes. The owner say, come ahead. And she gave me the address, and that was before SatNav. So Marilee's feverishly going through this big yellow book of postcodes and everything, addresses, maps in for London. And we get there, and I can tell as we drive up from the vibrations from the other side of the car, this looks like the house. We haven't even seen it yet. But, you know, you begin to read these things. Anyway, we went inside the house, and it was lovely. And it was everything that we required, except it was £50 more a month than we could afford. So we saw the house. We were thinking, oh, this would be wonderful. And just as we're at the door getting ready to leave, the woman says, oh, by the way, she says, my husband and I are moving to Australia tomorrow, and we'd like this wrapped up. So if you would be willing to sign to take the house today, we would reduce the rent £50 a month. I said, done. Can we use your phone? Can we use your phone? Well, by that time, it was very close to 5 o'clock when the estate agent closed. But I rang, and the woman was there. I said, we decided to take the house. I said, we need to sign today. I said, could you stay open just for a few minutes longer for us to come and sign the documents? She said, yes. She said, I'll wait. So I said, okay. So we drove over to the estate agent, and we signed the papers, and we secured the house, and we drove back to Barrie. What's the point of my story? Is that when God tells you something and he gives you a word, sometimes you don't know how it's going to unfold. You just have to follow where it's leading you. And it may come at the last minute, that miracle that you need to secure what you are believing for. And so time delay is not a sign that you missed it or that God somehow something else. It's just what it is, a time delay. If you've heard from the Lord, walk with it until you secure it. So sometimes things take place over a period of time. Another stumbling ditch or place to stagger is frustration over not having adequate information. You know, you consider Abraham. God just said, go, and I'll show. You know, that's pretty basic. Nowadays, we want 1,000 questions answered before we do anything that has some potential significant consequence. And, you know, I can't imagine what the conversation might have been if God hadn't appeared to Sarah. Because I know that if you're looking at major things, we all want a whole host of questions answered. But if God speaks to you, oftentimes you don't get any more information. You are simply required to trust and obey. And that's what our father Abram did. You know, my wife and I have some dear friends in America who God has told them that they're going to move to the other side of America, and so they have this word, and so they've packed up their house and just they're just living with the packing right now. And it's kind of interesting living in a house that's packed up, but they know that God has given them the word and they know they're going. They just need their house to sell so that they can proceed. And I just want to say to you that God often doesn't answer very many questions. He gives you a basic instruction, so you are dependent upon him. You're not dependent upon your logic, your reason, how you figured it all out and how you can see it can happen and this will fit into that and that block will fall into place and I can. No. He says, go and I'll show. Go and I'll show. And that's exactly what happened with our spiritual father. And that's how God takes us forward. So sometimes you can overthink something and overthink it right out of the realm of faith. Another place where people sometimes stagger is thinking about what others might be thinking about me and what I'm believing for. You know, you can say what you're believing for, and other people may think whatever they think, they will. But if you get worried about what other people think, you can stagger, you can stumble. That isn't so important, what they think. What matters is what God said to you. And God doesn't lie. And as I said earlier, if people don't hear the same voice that you heard about what you heard, then they won't have a faith to believe. And what you're doing may seem idiotic, stupid, denial of reality, nonsensical, isn't according to wisdom at all. That's how they may perceive it. But that'll be a stumbling stone, a ditch, a place to stagger if you're not careful. That's why you go back to the Word, and that's why you go back to what you say. I remember we had started the church here in London, and after about a year, we'd gathered about 25 people by God's grace, and then as several of those people got their lives restored, they were kind of spiritual Jonahs, so to speak. Good people, but they'd kind of left their countries, come to the UK to get away from some issues that had troubled them deeply where they lived. But as God restored them, they went back to their own countries. And so we were down to about 7. It was at that point that some dear friends of mine came to visit us. And they heard the story that we had gathered this many, and that now it had gone back down to 7. And so they decided to give me some very good advice, that I did not belong in the UK, and this was not my calling. This was not what God had for us. And because they loved us and cared about us so much, they wanted to make certain that we realized that this just really wasn't God's plan. And, you know, we thanked them for their love and concern. But when they left, we went back over the Word that God had given us. And when God gives you a word, you keep that word, you hold on to that word. Just like Abram, who became Abraham, held on to his new identity. And if he ever had to say his name, it was a constant reminder. If Sarah or one of his employees or the people that worked with him or said his name, it was a constant reminder of the word of the Lord. And so you keep the word of the Lord. You know, there's a passage in the Old Testament, and the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those, in other words, rare. And in our time, in many people's lives, it's very similar. The word of the Lord is rare. And when you get it, you keep it. What sustains me in my journey is the word of the Lord. And there are many times, as I'm sure you've found, you go back to it again and you say, Lord, you said this, you said this. And so that's why as a congregation, we are declaring those things that God has spoken to us. They are the promises that are yes and amen, and we'll see manifestation as we continue in faith and don't stumble or stagger. So thinking about what other people think, I recall some years ago, somebody heard that we were believing God for a large building, and they sent word through to me. This was from another ministry, and they said in words not terribly complimentary that this was a ridiculous notion, so to speak. This would never happen. And they weren't exactly encouraging words, but once again it reminded me to go back to the word that God had given us. And you know, you begin to value what is often an attempt by the devil to steal from you. The devil only wants to steal from you what's of value. And what's of great value, he'll employ even the most significant means to do so. So allowing yourself to foolishly consider what may happen if you do not succeed in your faith venture is another place of staggering or stumbling. Well, what will happen if I missed it? And once you head down that track, you're starting to stagger. That's why it's so important for you to hear the word of the Lord, believe it's the word of the Lord, hold on to it, make it your confession. As I said, those 7 things, hear it, believe it, say it, read it, rehearse it, record it, and do it. Those things keep the vitality and the power of your faith life in operation. So don't consider what may happen if you don't succeed. That's doubt. That's doubt in operation. Another stumbling stone is worsening conditions from when you first heard the word of promise. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 13:21 that trouble comes because of the word. So God gives you a word, and then trouble comes. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Trouble comes because of the word. It speaks there of people who have great joy when they receive the word, but they don't have any root, and so you only last a certain short period of time. And because when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. They stumble. So it's vital that when circumstances seem to be bad, that's you go to God, you get a word, and you think, okay, a miracle's on its way to me. A miracle's on its way to me. Hallelujah. A miracle's on its way to me. And then things get worse. And then you can see there's this spiritual contest, this spiritual war for your thought life, for your words, for what you're going to say. And it's so important that we learn to believe God in spite of. So when things get worse, you don't say, well, okay, I guess I missed it. No. You say, wait a minute, there is something incredibly valuable at stake here. And that's my faith in the word of the Lord. You know, not too long ago, I was visiting my family in America, and before we were told that we had to get out of the building where our sheep shed was. And it's kind of interesting, this unfolded right at that time. We had been given notice that they were going to tear the building down and build flats. But anyway, I'm in the U.S. visiting family, and we went to visit some that I don't too often see, and they're invalid and semi-invalid couple, and so we would go there with other members of the family and hold church service, try to be a blessing and encouragement to them. And so we had a wonderful time and just a great time of fellowship with them. And the husband walked out to the car with me as we're leaving, and he said, Rick, did I tell you the story of our house? I said, no. He said, well, you know, we lived so-and-so, and I knew. And he said, but we thought that house isn't workable for us because of my wife's condition. Excuse me. So we put our house on the market to sell, and we found a house. And so our house sold. So we packed up everything, and we had bought this other house. So on the day that we were to move, we had everything in this huge lorry packed up, because the people who had bought our home were moving in that day, so we had to get everything out of there. So they were going to move in, we were moving out, and we were moving into our new home. We just had it all packed up when the estate agent came and said, you know, I am so, so sorry. There has been a glitch in the purchase of your new home, and so it's now off the market. The sale is not happening. You will not have that home. So here's the circumstance. They have to move out because the new owners are moving in, but the place they're going to is not open. You know, it is in that kind of context you could panic, you could get frustrated, you could do all kind of dumb, stupid things. But the most important is that you hold faith in God. And thank God the estate agent happened to be a believer. And she wasn't just a Christian. She said to my relatives, she said, you know, I'm a believer, and I'm not taking this sitting down. And she heard the voice of the Lord speak to her. And so she went to a particular house, and she knocked on the front door. She didn't know anything about the people at all, the house either. But she knocked on the front door, and the woman came to the door, and she said, good morning. She said, my name is so-and-so. She said, would your house be for sale? And the woman stood there aghast. She said, how did you know? She said, "We, my husband and I, hadn't told anyone we were going to list it today for sale." Well, to make a long story short, they moved their stuff and the storage stayed temporarily somewhere. And two weeks later, their sale went through and they moved into a better, bigger, nicer, more convenient home in a better neighborhood. God has a plan for you that's beyond your thinking. And when it looks like everything is going south, as they say, He's still your God. He's still your helper. And I want to say to you today as we close that there's a song that we sing sometimes when we're gathered as a family entitled, "I Believe in Miracles Today." I believe in miracles. Yes, I do. Miracles will happen. Where'er I speak in faith, I believe in miracles today. His name is full of wonders today. His name is wonderful. Yes, it is. Wonders are coming to your address today. Believe, receive, and don't just walk away. I want to say to you today, as you hear this message, I'm not just preaching something from the Word of God, but God is saying something to you about your life, some of the stuff that's against you, some of the promises that God has given to you about favor and promotion and increase and expansion. Those are yes and amen. They are fulfilled even as you believe. And so God is coming to you today, even if you've stumbled. And like Peter, He's picking you up so that you can walk by faith back to the boat. You can walk by faith back to the boat and end up at that destination that God has pre-designed belongs to you. You weren't meant to continue in suffering and trouble and pain and destitution if you have a promise to the contrary. And so I want to encourage you today as I pray at the close of this message to just go back to the word that you have received and say, "Thank you, Lord. Your word is precious to me because you are precious to me. It is a word from you, and you love me, and you care about me, and your promises are always yes and amen. And I will believe you, and I will please you with my faith, and I will walk with you all the days of my life, and I will see the miracles that you have promised me so that I can give those away and I can encourage others who have been discouraged like I've been, who've been in places where stuff has been against them. That's who I am by your grace." Let us pray. Father, thank you today that you know every one of us. You know our circumstances. You know, Lord, those of us that are living in a measure of blessing and contentment and peace and don't necessarily face any severe challenge at the moment. And you know those of us, Lord, that are in the midst of a trial. You said the same trials are experienced by our brothers around the globe. And Lord, I pray for everyone who hears this message, who's in the midst of a trial. It is the trial of their faith. It is the trial of that which is going on in their heart that is the most fundamental issue. And I speak to your heart now in Jesus' name. And I say, heart given to you by God, breathe faith, speak faith, live in faith. Arise, be strong and healthy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Arise to trust the Lord today. Thank you, Father, for the miracles that will unfold even from this day in the lives of those that are hearing this word. Thank you, Lord, for the bands broken. Thank you, Lord. I see the prodigal son and in another family, a prodigal daughter, and they're coming home. They are coming home. I see them both in a state of dejection with tears saying, "I left my heavenly Father. I left my family. I'm going back. I'm going back." That's God's word to you today if your child is away from Him. I see today that thing that you have contended for and been in faith, God comes even to encourage you that you are not forgotten and that his promises are yes and amen. And you will experience the manifestation of that which God has spoken to you. Father, thank you for the opportunity to re-encourage and refire our faith, to get up out of any ditch, to stop stumbling, to recognize every ditch and to deal with it. Thank you, Lord, for those that perhaps are walking in a measure of unforgiveness because of an offense. Thank you, Lord, they choose today to forgive and have their heart restored to believe you, to walk with you, and finish their assignment. I speak the peace of God to you today, wherever you are. And the joy of the Lord will be restored to you because you believe him who cannot lie. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name, amen. God bless you this week as you walk by faith and live for him. I want to encourage you to read through the notes. I want to encourage you to look at the songs that, and allow those messages in those songs to refire and re-encourage your faith to continue to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus. It's the best life you could ever have when you are connected with him, when you have that intimacy that can only come by believing him. God bless you.